Welcome to Vital Voices, where we bring you expert insights on the topics that matter most to your health and well-being. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows, and today we're diving into an exciting and essential topic, how to strategically improve your nutritional status. Joining me today is Shanishka Cambridge, a registered dietitian nutritionist and the dietitian director from Oak Tree Medical Center. With years of experience and a passion for empowering people to live their healthiest lives, Shanishka is here to share practical tips, debunk common myths, and help us all approach nutrition in a way that's both sustainable and impactful. So whether you're looking to make small changes or embark on a complete nutritional overhaul, this episode has something for everyone. So grab your headphones, get comfortable, and let's explore how to make 2025 your healthiest year yet. Listen up! Vital Voices Podcast has an amazing giveaway just for you. Want to treat yourself to the ultimate relaxation? Subscribe to the Vital Voices Podcast on YouTube between January 20th and January 31st, 2025, and you'll automatically be entered into a raffle to win an 80-minute deep tissue massage courtesy of Tranquilitas Day Spa. Imagine melting away stress and tension with this luxurious experience. It could be yours for free. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and tune into our show on February 3rd to see if you're the lucky winner. Relaxation is just a click away. Subscribe now and good luck. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Burrows. Thank you for inviting me here today.
So we wanted to get you on the podcast to kind of talk about this as people start their new year thinking about, you know, new year, new me, and I want to set these new year's resolutions, and I want to eat better, and I want to work out, and da-da-da-da. So we wanted to get you on to kind of talk us through some practical tips and give our listeners some insight into how to navigate this process. But I want to start at the beginning, you know, and kind of ask, you know, what inspired you to become a registered dietitian nutritionist in the first place?
Yes, thank you. As you would have said, Mr. Burrows, this time of year is the year that person want to improve their lifestyle, diet, and exercise. Mm-hmm. But you asked me what brought me to this point today. Well, as I reflect on this, I think about my formative years as a student at Queen's College. Mm-hmm. I was a science geek, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to say that I am a nerd. I enjoy getting very good grades. And as a science student, I took all the sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, combined science. And so naturally, I gravitated to want to major in that. So when I went off to school to Beloit College, initially, my major was in biochemistry. And as a biochemist, you learn about so many biological and chemical mechanisms. And one of the topics that was discussed was the biochemistry of nutrition, mm-hmm. or nutritional biochemistry. So we're talking about the biological and chemical mechanisms that underlie how nutrients and foods and beverages are related to the disease process, mm-hmm. and influence things such as medicine and pharmacology and physiology in general. And so with my keen interest in the scientific method and those sorts of things, I engaged in research at Beloit College and was able to utilize my scientific method skills, my biochemistry skills, and my nutritional information to conduct research in those platforms. After completing that degree, I decided, hey, I want to learn more about lifestyle medicine. And lifestyle medicine is coined as a specialty that uses therapeutic lifestyle interventions as a primary modality to treat conditions. And food, medicine, nutritional therapy is one of the prominent lifestyle medicine practices. And so I decided to become a registered dietitian and a board certified nutrition specialist, which are two designations that indicate that a person has completed an accredited degree. To become a registered dietitian, you have to have a master's, and for the nutrition specialist, a master's or a doctorate, you also would have had to complete an approved clinical experience to board exams and maintain your credentials every 5 years with 75 hours of continuing professional education. And so I wanted to ensure that as I help persons to recognize that while we have pharmaceutical medicines, we also have lifestyle medicines, or i.e. food medicines as an example. And I learned more about this as I completed my internship at the University of Northern Colorado, working in sites such as Mercy Medical Center, Mercy Health Trauma Center. and hospital, and also Emory University Hospital in Midtown. So I really just wanted to ensure that I can utilize all of my skill set in order to help persons in our community.
So how do you feel like your role at Oak Tree Medical Center helps you connect with people to improve their nutrition as the director of dietitian nutrition services?
Okay, so at Oak Tree Medical Center, I am the dietitian director. So I have the responsibility for overseeing and assessing, planning, and implementing the dietary interventions that our patients need to help to promote health, prevent illness, manage, and also treat chronic conditions that are lifestyle related as a part of a team effort, multidisciplinary team. And so this is important because we know that in the Bahamas, the leading cause of death are things such as heart disease. Mm-hmm. And heart disease is inextricably linked to lifestyle behaviors and nutrition being one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy that I have this opportunity to work along with the physicians and other healthcare professionals in this capacity and utilize my skill set in providing medical nutrition therapy for these common conditions, whether they be obesity, diabetes, hypertension, chronic kidney disease, gout, heart disease, and doing this in a way in which persons are able to understand how their medical condition influences what they need to eat. So when a patient comes to see me here at Oak Tree Medical Center, I take consideration their medical history, their diagnoses, the medications, their lab works, their nutritional habits, as well as what's happening socially. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening socially inside your home, on the job, these all influence your mindset. They also influence the things that you do, the things that you eat. And so taking a comprehensive approach is necessary in this venture.
Okay. Yeah, you know, we talked about this concept of New Year's resolutions. You know, everybody has been on this concept of New Year, New Me for a few years now. And you hear it pop up December into January every year. Why is the New Year a pivotal time for people to focus on improving their nutritional status?
Well, we know persons like a new start, right? You mm-hmm. want to start over. I'm thinking about my son. I'm a mother as well. And sometimes he does things that he should not have done. And he says, "Mommy, is there anything that I can do to correct my bad behavior?" Mm-hmm. He always wants to find a way to have a second chance. And so what we have done as humans in modern time is we have always thought about the new year to be that second chance.
Right.
And so one of a second chance, oftentimes persons think about their health because we know that many persons have health challenges. Mm-hmm. Many persons are not at the weight that they want to be at. And so the new year is a time to make those resolutions. So persons are more motivated, they're fresh, they have a new start. And this is a good time to maximize on this natural motivation to help persons to focus on their health and wanting to improve their nutritional status. But in fact, you can improve at any time, right? But right. we're just wanting to help persons who are already on that journey before Lent comes, right? to think, okay, Lent is coming, so we want to start thinking about this before Lent.
Right.
And we can do some things to improve our health this year.
Okay. So, you know, given that people will often start on this path in January, and, you know, especially the gym folks will like to make jokes about how, you know, all of the people who are coming to the gym the first week of January because they're doing their New Year's resolutions. And then by the time February rolls around, everybody's gone. So given that, what do you see as some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about, you know, healthy eating today? Because I imagine you come in and you have this great motivation, you know, the start of the year. But what maybe are some of the misconceptions that end up tripping people up?
Right. And when I think about misconceptions, I think about the mind. So mm-hmm. my mind goes back to what I would have learned in terms of behavior change. Because mm-hmm. though I have all this information in my head and I'm trained, I have to recognize that there are things that motivate people to make behavior changes beyond just knowing the information. And so when I think about that, mm-hmm. my mind goes to something called the health belief model. And what that theory states is that if a person does not perceive that they are susceptible to experiencing a health condition that is going to really have tremendous impact on them, they may not be motivated to change. Or if they feel as if it's not going to be that severe, well, you know what? you know, high blood pressure running my family, right? Mm-hmm. And she was okay. She lived to be 75. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be okay. And so one of the misconceptions is that it doesn't really matter, right? Mm. Or, you know, I did want to change, but, you know, I fell off the wagon, but I'm going to be okay because so-and-so was also okay. So the mindset mm-hmm. is also one of the things that helps and disrupt person's initial motivation early in the year. Another misconception that I hear a lot, they may not say it, but they act as if carbohydrates are the devil. Carbs are fine. Carbs make you fine. Carbs make you blue. Well, no, that was a joke. Carbs do not make you blue. But the same with carbohydrates, but that is interesting. Is it because person don't understand what a carbohydrate probably is and the foods that have carbohydrates in them? But what we do know, when you ask a person, what do you need to do to eat healthy? Most persons, they eat more fruits and vegetables. And fruits and vegetables do contain carbohydrates. Persons may say, eat more fiber. And fiber is a type of carbohydrate. And so I think because what we have done is because of food engineering, we have made so many processed carbohydrates that lead to health problems, that person right. want to just get rid of every carbohydrate. But that's a mistake because we need to be able to strategically identify which carbohydrates can help us. Another misconception is healthy eating is expensive. You know, we want to save money. We don't want to be spending money unnecessarily. And we know that the food bill can be a heavy bill. But when persons say that, I say, hold on, let's back it up. We can make choices of what we choose to purchase in the food store. You know, I can think about some deals where I often see 3 small apples for $1, and that's not expensive. But a bag of chip costs more than one of those small apples. Mm-hmm. So when you work with a person who's an expert in nutrition, like a registered dietitian, they're able to help you to identify ways to save money while eating healthy, so we don't have to necessarily use the excuse of healthy eating is expensive. And the final misconception I'll mention right now is one size fits all. Sometimes we feel as if, well, one way of eating is going to work for every person, going to work for every condition, and that's just not the case. And so my message to the listening audience, to the consumer, to the patient, even to the health professional, including the medical doctors, mm-hmm. is that recognizing that one size does not fit all. And so when persons have these diagnoses, it's important to get that help from a registered dietitian or a nutrition specialist so that they can find the individualized plan for them.
Okay. So let's move into the strategy conversation, because I think a part of this is sometimes people will say, I want to do this, but they have no strategy, right? It's like, well, I'm going to change my diet with no clue as to where or how to start. But before we do that, I do want to say sometimes it's not even just which carbohydrates. It's you want to have 4 carbohydrates on your plate. Mm-hmm. You want to have peas and rice, macaroni, and potato salad, and be like, you know, well, I mean, if you have all of that, then it might be the devil at that point because you have 3 or 4 carbs on your plate. But I digress. So what are some of the foundational principles of a well-rounded nutrition strategy? Because like you said, it's not a one-size-fits-all, depending on what your individual medical concerns are, or just depending on where you are in this overall process of you even making a decision to start.
Okay, so yeah, so we want to be strategic. So the theme for today is how to strategically improve your nutritional status in 2025 mm-hmm. or any year after mm-hmm. listening to this, right? So one of the things, looking at it from a scientific point of view, is you want to have an evidence-based approach. So when I use the term evidence-based, you want to make decisions on how you're going to change your nutritional behaviors based upon what science really says is important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get advice from TikTok, we get it from Facebook, we get it from YouTube. Just about every platform has somebody, many persons who are providing nutritional information. And sometimes the information is very attractive. It's very captivating and it's easy to just go along with what everybody says. But then you realize that, hey, there is conflicting information. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that when somebody is giving you information, sometimes you need to fact check. You may not be able to fact check everything, but at least try to fact check something because you don't want to be misled. So one of the foundational principles is taking an evidence-based approach. And so with that, I want to share a tool that you can use for that. Mm. There was a study published by The Lancet in 2019. And if anybody knows what The Lancet is, that's a well-known international medical journal. Whoever is paying attention to research knows that if you say The Lancet, you have to listen because the persons who contribute are experts. Mm-hmm. And what they said was that a suboptimal diet or an unhealthy diet is the leading risk of mortality, death, and disability and morbidity globally. Oh, so wow. They looked at 195 countries. So we're talking about people who speak different languages. And they mm-hmm. found that the major risk for dying early or dying in general or having morbidity, like, for example, going blind, getting your foot amputated to diabetes or whatever, has to do with what persons are eating. And they say that this risk is even higher than tobacco smoking. So using that study, I would have identified what are the targeted nutritional behaviors. So now our next strategy is not that we have identified where we find the right information. Mm-hmm. We need to find out, okay, and understand what do I need to target. So in this same study that The Lancet would have published in 2019, where they said an unhealthy diet is the main risk for mortality and morbidity, they identified what those behaviors were that was causing that. So they said a diet, we heard this before, high in sodium, mm-hmm. high in processed meats, high in red meat, high in sugar sweetened beverages, mm-hmm. and one that is low in fruits, mm-hmm. low in whole grains, low in nuts and seeds, low in vegetables, low in omega-3 fatty acids, and low in dietary fiber. And when we hear that, we'd be like, well, you know, I heard that before. Yeah, but in my experience, we still don't take the advice. We still mm-hmm. don't put it into practice. So in time and time again, you know, persons come in to the clinic at Oak Tree Medical Center, and we have to address these things because these are some of the underlying factors that is contributing to the health problems that we see today. So one approach that I also encourage people when they want to be more strategic in making these changes is, while I mentioned those key behaviors, is let's first think about food into two categories. Am I eating a whole food or am I eating a processed food or mm-hmm. an ultra processed food? So people are like, what is a whole food? You mean like if the package say whole grain on it, is that sufficient?
Right.
Well, that may not be sufficient. Okay, let's go back. We're going to go on the farm. So anybody know what a farm is? A farm, we're going to grow some fruits, vegetables. We may have some animals there. Mm-hmm. When we go to the farm and the farmer now has to harvest or has to, you know, prepare the animals for market, the original state that food came in from the farm is a whole food. Mm-hmm. So if we go and we pick the cabbage, mm-hmm. right, and we rinse it off and we get all the dirt off, and maybe you may soak it in some apple cider vinegar or mm-hmm. baking soda, what have you, to help to sanitize it to acceptable sun, and then we prepare that. That's a whole food.
Gotcha.
Or if we go and we say the chicken laid the egg, and mm-hmm. we got the egg, and we took it inside, maybe refrigerated, and we crack it open, boil, or what have you, mm-hmm. that's a whole food.
Gotcha.
So if we're sitting down to our plate and we look at it, mm-hmm. it don't matter if the package say whole grain 100%. If it doesn't look like something that I can get directly from a farm with minimal preparation, then it's probably not a whole food. Why am I saying this? Mm-hmm. Because it makes it easier to improve your nutritional status strategically if we focus on those original type of whole foods,
right,
and you be the one who processes it. Mm-hmm. But if we say, you know what, I want to let that other person process it for me, they're going to sometimes be ultra processing this food,
right, or drink, additives.
Adding additives, mm-hmm. adding the sodium, adding the salt, adding the chemicals,
yeah.
adding the colors, the things that we're trying to avoid. And so looking at my diet as whole food and processed food is another strategy. So far we say, let it be evidence-based, let it be based on real good science. Make sure we identify what are the things that are really causing an issue, and is my food a whole food? Is it a processed food? And then you mentioned the food coloring there, because it's interesting to note that we eat with our eyes, right? Mm-hmm. We definitely eat with our eyes, and we want to be eating colorful foods because the natural colorful foods has different nutrients that are going to help with our skin health, help to reduce risk of cancer, mm-hmm. help to reduce oxidative stress and inflammation, all these things that are linked to high blood pressure, linked to diabetes, linked to heart disease, linked to some of these cancers. And we want to get them from the natural whole foods. These colorful foods are going to be the plant foods,
right.
The fruits and the vegetables. They're going to have all those colors. But we know that they aren't the only foods with colors. Mm-hmm. Because when I go into the food store, the most color I see is not the whole foods. The most colors that I see is the processed mm-hmm. foods. And we want to be careful. If anybody's paying attention to what's happening in the United States right now, the FDA has banned a food color, one of the red food coloring. They need to ban some more, but they're banning red number 3 because they say that the research says that it is carcinogenic. Well, if anybody knows, the research has been talking about things like that for a while, but I'm happy to see that the FDA now is looking into that because mm-hmm. these food colorings are made from things like petroleum, right? Mm-hmm. And they have chemicals like benzene, what we know is known to be carcinogenic. So we want to get colorful foods from natural foods. And then portion control, as you would have stated earlier, right. The carbohydrates could become the devil if we're eating too much of it.
Right.
But we want to look at the portion. How do we divide our plate into portions so that we can have a better health outcome?
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, we sometimes you just go back to the simple things, which is, you know, in moderation, right?
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP?
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Galena.com to pay today. Galena, always here, always open, 24/7.
Are you ready to transform your body and mindset? At Janergy Nation, we believe in you. Our group-based training is tough, but our support is tougher. No shortcuts, no excuses, just hard work and real results. Join a community that pushes you to be better, stronger, and unstoppable. It's time to rise, it's time to grind. Welcome to Janergy Nation, where your potential becomes reality. Call us at 802-1800 to start your journey today.
Escape to paradise with Tranquilitas Day Spa, your ultimate destination for relaxation and rejuvenation. Indulge in luxurious massages for individuals and couples, rejuvenating facials, and expert waxing services. Experience the healing touch of reflexology or pamper yourself with our special spa packages. Need us to come to you? We offer on-demand mobile services, getting to you in as little as 1 hour. Discover Serenity today. Visit MassageBahamas.com, follow Tranquilitas Day Spa on Instagram or Facebook, or call us at 816-8286. Tranquilitas Day Spa, where relaxation, luxury, and convenience combine.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Valor Security, our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs. Life is full of highs and lows. Your first set of keys to a new home, that frantic moment when you're locked out on a busy day, or the sinking feeling of a car key broken in the ignition. But in every one of those moments, Crown Locksmith Services is here for you. With commitment, dedication, and trust you can count on, we'll get you back on track. Built on turning a passion for helping people into a business you can rely on, Crown Locksmith Services is your trusted partner for life's unpredictable moments. Call Crown Locksmith Services today at 421-7800, where your security is our priority. Crown Locksmith, reliable, trustworthy, here for you.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, it's interesting. I think sometimes what people have difficulty is maybe being honest with themselves or assessing their own current nutritional status, right? And this might be a cultural issue as well, because if family dinner on Sunday is you have two meats, you have three or four carbohydrates on the plate, and then like this tiny little sliver of salad, and that's just been what you've been used to because you used to go to Grammy house and now it's mummy house and then it could be your house. So how do people, you know, assess their current nutritional status to identify areas for improvement?
Okay, so when I think about nutritional status, I have to think about, okay, what does that mean first, right? Mm-hmm. What does nutritional status mean? So when we're talking about that, we're talking about how do you evaluate a person's health based upon certain things that we can see, where it is with their eating, their physical presentation. They mm-hmm. may have dry skin. They may have low energy. Is their blood pressure high? What are their labs saying? And this is more in-depth than what the individual person at home may be able to do. But while they want to consider, hey, do I need to make changes to my diet? How am I doing nutritionally? They can begin with monitoring themselves. They can begin with making observations. They can begin with mm-hmm. maybe getting a food diary, getting an app on their phone, mm-hmm. and start tracking to see what it looks like. If they say, well, you know I should be eating less chocolate or drinking less soda, and I don't drink it much. But when they go back to the log, they notice that, hey, you know what? I've actually had those frequently more than I think. And so one way of assessing your nutritional status is actually just being observant. But we need to recognize that we need to look at other things. Persons need to be coming into the clinic, getting their annuals done so that they can have their labs checked. Mm-hmm. And in the labs, in the blood works, and the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And there's so much things that we can learn from the blood works. When a patient comes to see me and they have a goal, they may have been referred to, maybe their blood sugar is high, maybe their blood pressure, cholesterol is high, or mm-hmm. they are developing or have chronic kidney disease, pre-dialysis or even on dialysis. I always ask them, if I'm not able to see it on the record because it wasn't provided yet, when last have you done blood works? Because information in the blood is indicating what needs to happen in terms of nutrition and what was probably happening. Right. And so looking and assessing our nutritional status goes beyond just seeing, okay, well, this is what I eat, this is what I drink, I monitor it, I know it, yeah, so it looks good to me. I eat fine, I eat a balanced diet, I eat vegetables, I eat fruits, I eat this, so I straight. No, you know what I mean? You may not be necessarily straight because you may have some other things going on in your labs, in your numbers, your energy, your skin, your breath, and all these things are also a part of the assessment. So looking at it from a holistic point of view is important as we become more aware of what's needed to improve our health.
Okay. You know, you talked about earlier the idea of certain like deficiencies in people's diets. And some people will then look at supplements as a part of the process of filling out the gaps. So from your perspective, what role do supplements play in a strategic nutrition plan, and how can people choose wisely?
Yes, supplements. Supplements is something that we definitely need to address if we want to be more strategic and in terms of helping us as a person to become mm-hmm. healthier. And it's very attractive. It's also easy, right? It's easy to say, well, I want to be healthy. Let me go buy a supplement rather right. than drink some water, right? Mm-hmm. But as we pursue this, we want to think about certain things. First of all, we want to recognize that you can overconsume a particular nutrient, whether it's a vitamin or a mineral, as an example. The term that we use is it can become toxic. Mm-hmm. So when we learn about nutritional requirements as a registered dietitian or a nutrition specialist, we learn about the adequacy. We learn about how much of a nutrient is needed, but how much is in excess, what level it will provide toxicity to that person. And so there's sometimes when patients come to the clinic here at Oak Tree Medical Center and I'm going through my background checks. And one of those background checks is tell me the supplements that you're taking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are loads of supplements. You're going on and on and on. And sometimes they're overlapping. Mm-hmm. And so it's causing them to be at risk of toxicity. So I'll give you one example of what one of those vitamins would be that you want to avoid toxicity and check your labels. It's vitamin A. Vitamin A toxicity or overconsuming vitamin A can lead to a lot of things, even birth defects. Mm. So when you read the supplements that the pregnant mothers would take, oftentimes rather than having vitamin A, they have beta carotene, which can convert to vitamin A if mm-hmm. the body needs it, because it can cause birth defects if too much is consumed. As an adult, it can also cause liver damage and get headaches, hair loss. So toxicity is definitely important. So with that, you want to know there's a difference between a water-soluble vitamin and a fat-soluble vitamin. So a water-soluble vitamin are going to be things like vitamin C. So that's a supplement that it means that if you don't need all of the supplement that you consume, you will urinate it out, provided mm-hmm. the kidneys are working properly, right?
Right.
And so taking a vitamin C supplement is one of those supplements that are safer to take, because the main side effect may just be a little loose stools because you took too much. But right. most persons don't take that much to experience that. And vitamin C is an antioxidant. It's going to help to reduce a lot of oxidative stress and inflammation, which is linked to these chronic conditions. So that's a good one to take. However, you want to be careful with fat-soluble vitamins. Okay. These are vitamins that are going to be stored in your body, and it can build up and cause toxicity. Mm-hmm. So taking too much vitamin A, like I said, too much vitamin D, mm-hmm. too much vitamin E and K. You want to be careful and get in your lab works checked to see where your levels are, if you have or need or want to take those ones. But taking vitamin C, taking a regular multivitamin mineral is a good place to start. Some persons who have certain conditions like diabetes may have to target other supplements. So, for example, vitamin B12. Persons who have diabetes may become deficient in vitamin B12 for various reasons, and they may get like pins and needles in their feet, confused, more memory loss, muscle weakness. And so that is an important supplement for them. And we've heard about omega-3 supplements. My advice with that is looking for one that has DHA and EPA, which are specific types of omega-3s that are needed. But be careful and read the labels, because the omega-3 oils sometimes are coming from sources that may have environmental contaminants, impurities, heavy metals, and sometimes the labels say this has removed, we remove PCB, we remove mercury, we remove this, and that's a good sign that that's a quality product. So do your research, 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 research.
Fair. All right, so as we start to think about, you know, tailored approaches to managing nutrition, how can people who have specific dietary needs or restrictions, so that may be somebody, you know, with diabetes or hypertension, or perhaps someone who may be like gluten or lactose intolerant, how can they craft an effective strategy for their nutrition?
Okay, so you mentioned specific conditions. So one of the things I want to say and reiterate is that you really have to understand what that condition is. So if you have been newly diagnosed with diabetes, you definitely want to, first of all, find out what type of diabetes do I have? Because I may have type 1 diabetes, I may have type 2. If I'm pregnant, maybe gestational, or maybe a little in between. So understanding the type helps you to understand, okay, well, what are some of the factors that may have led me to develop diabetes? And what is this doing? Because that helps to identify what needs to be addressed. When it comes to things like gluten intolerance, knowing what that means. So we want to have an understanding of what is gluten. Well, gluten is a type of protein that's found in some grain products. And so if you have a gluten intolerance or a gluten allergy, then you have to know what are all of those foods. And when it comes to that particular one, sometimes persons don't realize that things such as spelt and kamut also have gluten. They also may not realize that if a food was prepared in a way where it was in the same vicinity of a food that had gluten, though it didn't have it itself, it could be contaminated. And so we're talking now just not only about knowing what this condition is about, what caused it, how does it progress in my body, but also being able to identify areas in which you may not know that it's going to be a concern. So even with taking certain supplements, if you have a situation with gluten intolerance or lactose intolerance, they may have gluten or it may have lactose in it, which lactose comes from milk, cow's milk to be more specific, that's a milk protein. So you want to be reading labels. And one way of crafting an effective nutritional strategy is reading the labels and being able to identify what on that label relates to my condition. So you might need expert advice, right? So if you have a gluten allergy intolerance or a lactose intolerance, you may need to be taught by a registered dietitian, as an example, how do I read this label to identify if this is in my food product? Because I may not know just by looking at it and looking at the picture. If I have diabetes, the same thing applies. What on this label am I need to be focused on? Mm-hmm. Okay, fiber is important for blood sugar control, but how much fiber do I need? And how much fiber am I going to get based upon how much I'm eating? Because the numbers aren't just there in terms of whatever amount, it has to do with the quantity that you consume, the portion, the serving size. So to wrap that up, to be more effective when you're planning your diet, if you have specific conditions and restrictions, you want to know what is the risk or what are the factors that led to that. How is this condition operating in your body? You want to get some advice and you want to monitor yourself. You want to monitor what you're eating so that when you actually go to follow up with your healthcare provider, they can help you to navigate what issues you may be having.
Okay, understood. Obviously, one of the core constituents who may have concerns with navigating healthy nutrition would be parents. So what tips do you have for parents trying to improve their family's overall eating habits?
Yes, I love this question. I love this question. One of the reasons why I love this question is because we like to say, well, it runs in my family, right? Mm-hmm. I have a little pressure, but you know, that runs in my family. So it's almost as if they're saying that, oh, that's okay. Families have a very important influence on the health outcome of a person. When it comes to nutrition and wanting to improve the diet of your family, your children, your husband, whatever, but let's say your children as an example, that starts from in the womb, right? So for persons who are pregnant now or persons who are planning to get pregnant, you know, I want to start with you first because the outcome of the nutritional habits of your child is going to be influenced by what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Because the research shows that the flavors of the food and the beverages that you are consuming, it enters into the fluids that the baby is in, and the baby swallows it. And so they recognize and become accustomed to those flavors. In the same way, if you breastfeed your child, the flavors in the food and the beverages that the mother is consuming goes into the breast milk. And the research shows that if a mother eats foods, for example, vegetables, when they're pregnant and when they breastfeed, that predicts a higher likelihood that that child will prefer eating that particular food and eat more of it. And so when we want to, I can't get my child eat no vegetables. Well, that's because he was going through the drive-thru when you were pregnant. And so that's like, he's like, mommy, what is this? I want number two.
Right.
With a milkshake on the side, right? And so we want to know that it starts there. So right. Now let's just say now we already have our family and they're there. You know, how can we now encourage persons or our children to eat healthy? We want to get them involved, right? That may mean turning on the Food Network or something. That may mean trying to find a celebrity that may be having a health goal and they're showing that they're implementing a healthy behavior.
Right.
And we want to model them, because young persons, they look at peers. They look at role models. They want to do what they see. You know, I have a son, and he says, mommy, let's go on YouTube and let's look for a recipe. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, you know what? You know how much ingredients I have to purchase in order to fix that? But I have to remember that, hey, he's interested in preparing foods. And if we're able to get them interested in the food preparation, and they can see different meals that are incorporating some ingredients that we want them to consume. Maybe it may not be the perfect meal, but it's incorporating it, and they're willing to participate and they want to do it, I think that's a good place to start. So you have young children, fine. Ways that they can incorporate them into the meal planning and do it as a family activity. Let them participate in the cooking and start early. And these are the ways that you can help to improve the nutrition in the household. We have to get them to be interested, because you can have all the healthy foods, but if they don't want it, they're not going to eat it. And so we want to get them interested, and getting them interested sometimes meaning helping them or allowing them to make choices as to what they want to try. We can guide them using social media.
Right. Understood. So I imagine there are, you know, some common things that people run into or challenges that they face when they're going through the process of trying to improve their diet. So what are some of those common pitfalls or challenges, and how can people overcome those?
Okay. So one of the common things that persons say to me when they come into the clinic at Oak Tree Medical Center is, I just don't have enough time. It's almost as if time is running away from us and we're trying to find the time. So one of the common pitfalls that I see with busy persons is just that time factor. Mm-hmm. And so if that is the case for you, then we want to look at, okay, how am I using my time, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's be realistic and let's be accurate in what we're saying. And a time diary just means that, hey, I have all these, I'm going to write down or get in my smartphone and say, okay, I did this. And sometimes we can find many hours or some hours in the day, even after we get off from work, where we were just chilling, right? And so we had time where we could have perhaps chopped up some vegetables and put it in a container, put it in the fridge in preparation for the next meal. So one way a busy professional can improve upon their eating habits is, first of all, identifying, do I really have a lack of time? Mm-hmm. Or am I just needing to modify how I use my time? Another tip is looking at meal preparation. People say, what is meal preparation? And then do you mean making a bunch of food on the first day of the week and eating that same thing every single day? I want fresh food. Fresh food. F-R-E-S-H. Okay, I get it. eating fresh food sometimes can seem a bit more enjoyable for some person, depending on what it is. But you don't have to go to the extreme and cook one time and eat that for 7 days. But what you could do is, at least at a bare minimum, make some leftovers for the next day. Mm-hmm. And the leftovers for the next day should ideally, at a minimum, include lunch. Because mm-hmm. lunchtime is the time where we really go off course plenty, because mm-hmm. we just go with many conveniences. Right. And so meal prepping and meal planning ahead of time is a way that we can utilize to help us with improving our eating habits mm-hmm. if we are busy professionals.
Okay.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oaktree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit OaktreeMedicalCenter.com. Oaktree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP?
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open, 24/7.
Are you ready to transform your body and mindset? At Janergy Nation, we believe in you. Our group-based training is tough, but our support is tougher. No shortcuts, no excuses, just hard work and real results. Join a community that pushes you to be better, stronger, and unstoppable. It's time to rise. It's time to grind. Welcome to Janergy Nation, where your potential becomes reality. Call us at 802-1800 to start your journey today.
Escape to paradise with Tranquilitas Day Spa, your ultimate destination for relaxation and rejuvenation. Indulge in luxurious massages for individuals and couples, rejuvenating facials, and expert waxing services. Experience the healing touch of reflexology, or pamper yourself with our special spa packages. Need us to come to you? We offer on-demand mobile services, getting to you in as little as 1 hour. Discover Serenity today. Visit massagebahamas.com. Follow Tranquilitas Day Spa on Instagram or Facebook, or call us at 816-8286. Tranquilitas Day Spa, where relaxation, luxury, and convenience combine.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oaktree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oaktree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oaktree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oaktree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit OaktreeMedicalCenter.com. Oaktree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Valor Security, our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Vala Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs.
Life is full of highs and lows. Your first set of keys to a new home, that frantic moment when you're locked out on a busy day, or the sinking feeling of a car key broken in the ignition.
But in every one of those moments, Crown Locksmith Services is here for you. With commitment, dedication, and trust you can count on, we'll get you back on track. Built on turning a passion for helping people into a business you can rely on, Crown Locksmith Services is your trusted partner for life's unpredictable moments. Call Crown Locksmith Services today at 421-7800, where your security is our priority. Crown Locksmith, reliable, trustworthy, here for you.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, one of the things that I've seen people talk about is the concept of eating emotionally or eating from a place of emotion, and or I guess the role of stress in people's dietary habits. So how do you address that? Like if someone, because I think we've seen it on TV and in media for years, right? Someone has a breakup on a show and they go and grab a tub of ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they go and grab an extra large pizza if it's a guy and he sits down and just mashes through it. So how do we address that concept of emotional eating or, like I said, the role of stress in poor dietary habits?
Okay, so one of the things we need to recognize is that it does exist. So emotional eating does exist. Mm-hmm. And so one tactic that can be used is the acronym HALT, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're going to experience, okay, ask yourself, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? Is that why I want this food? Is that why I'm craving this food? Mm-hmm. And if that is the reason that you want this food and you're craving this food, then you want to address that. Well, if it's hunger, then we want to look back and say, am I skipping meals? Am I delayed in my eating? Do I need to, you know, improve my meal timing in the future? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just don't take time to eat. And when we do that, our body craves the calorie-dense foods, which mm-hmm. comes in the form as potato chips or chocolate bars, mm-hmm. or donuts, or fried food, because we're going to get a lot of calories at one time. So hunger is a part of it. Angry, sadness, loneliness. We may need to join a club, you know, maybe join the Rotary, you know, volunteer at Red Cross. Do things so we can communicate with other persons so that we don't utilize food as our friend. And the food is not being friendly back to us, right? And then tired. Sometimes we need to go to sleep, right? We need 8 hours of sleep, 7 hours at a minimum. But as an adult, 10 hours as a child. Mm-hmm. And when we're tired, the body then also craves these calorie-dense, junky-type foods because the brain says, well, I'm getting plenty of energy from it. But it's not the energy that you need to provide good health. It's the energy that's going to promote the development of diseases. So these are some things to think about when it comes to emotional eating.
Okay. How does nutrition intersect with other aspects of health, like mental health and well-being, chronic disease prevention? Where does nutrition fit?
Okay, that's an interesting conversation. I'll just mention that we really need to pay attention to what the new information is saying. There's something called nutritional psychiatry. Nutritional psychiatry is a term that persons such as Harvard scientists are utilizing because they've recognized that, hey, what we're eating is actually directly impacting the mind, is impacting how we think. Mm-hmm. And what we don't realize is that when we eat foods that there is good and friendly bacteria in our intestines, if those foods are high in fiber, they're producing certain natural chemicals that are healthy for good mood. So we're talking about serotonin. You may have heard serotonin before, of a neurotransmitter that's good with balancing and having healthy moods and lowering the risk of depression. And the research is showing that depending on how you eat, you can actually increase the amount of serotonin naturally or decrease it, meaning that, in other words, particular ways of eating actually is promoting a higher risk of sadness and depression, according to the science. And so this is an interesting concept because it's something that we haven't necessarily heard about. But we have heard about disease prevention. We have heard about how eating in a particular way that can help us to reduce our risk of high blood pressure, reduce our risk of diabetes. And so it's interesting that you've asked me that. And so I'm happy that we can look forward to new trends that's coming about when it comes to nutrition and disease prevention and mental health and well-being.
Okay. You know, I think one of the things I like to do when we have conversations like this is give people, you know, some direct advice points or, you know, things that they can change in order to start to look for significant health benefits, right? So from your perspective, what are three simple changes that people can make to their diet that yield significant health benefits?
Okay, so the three simple changes that they can do is they can begin to eat more whole foods mm-hmm. and eat less processed foods. We talk about that. That will significantly help to improve your nutritional status and your health in general. Another thing we want to do is look at the portion control. We can use our plate. We can get a 9-inch plate. We can divide it in half, eat a half of it, non-starchy vegetables, things like cabbage and broccoli, lettuce and tomatoes, a quarter plate starch, that could be cassava, pumpkin, sweet potato, a quarter plate protein, mm-hmm. that could be some fish, some lean meat like chicken or turkey, or some beans as a protein source, and a salt and a small piece of fruit. That can help with also making dramatic improvements and reducing our consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. So if it tastes sweet, it's probably a sugar-sweetened beverage. And so those are three simple changes that we can do to dramatically improve our health from a nutritional perspective.
Okay. You know, we as a nation have a lot of interesting foods that are a part of our culture, a part of our tradition, so to speak, right? How do you recommend incorporating cultural staples or traditional foods into a modern nutrition plan? So, you know, making it healthy or trying to make it work in the overall scope of eating healthier. So you have a lot of like your macaroni and cheese and things like that, like that are very hearty and in some ways, you know, unhealthy. How do we make that work?
Okay, so yes. So as I work with patients in the clinic, it's important for me to recognize their cultural background. I may not necessarily ask you, where are mommy and daddy from? but as I speak to them and I hear the types of foods that they eat, the types of foods that they enjoy, I get more of an understanding of what cultural or traditional foods are important to them. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about, like, say, the Bohemian diet as an example, we want to categorize these cultural foods into food groups. And I'm putting food groups in quotation. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we're like peas and rice. Say, what is the Bohemian? Peas and rice, macaroni, potatoes, salad, and coleslaw. Okay, peas and rice, what is that? That is a starch, right? Mm-hmm. Macaroni, potato salad, those are also starches, but they're high in fat. Mm-hmm. Coleslaw has some vegetables, but it's high in fat too. So what we do know from those words, you know, we have peas in our cupboard or in the fridge. Mm-hmm. We have rice. We may have pumpkin. We may have cabbage. We have some meat. We have what's not. And so if we identify what those foods are, then we have to put it on the plate. Okay, right. Well, if that is a cassava and I have peas and rice, if a quarter of my plate should be starch and they're both starches, then I need to reduce the size of that. So I can have that cassava, mm-hmm. I got that peas and rice, but I have to just make it fit. Mm-hmm. Let's make it fit where it needs to go. And how do we make it healthy? We want to be looking at how we're preparing it. Am I making peas and rice and salt beef? Mm-hmm. Or am I making peas and rice full stop? So peas and rice, it's different peas and rice and salt beef. So we can let the salt beef go and just make the peas and rice so we can make modifications we're adding to it
right.
to help fit it on the plate where it needs to go. And also preparation of that food, you know. So if we say we're accustomed to having fish and we like fish, you know, but we're saying, well, I eat fried fish only. Mm-hmm. So that's an area we can improve, because we want to find ways we can enjoy this fish as an example, right, without having to fry it. So first of all, looking at what are those foods, where does it fit on my plate in terms of category, what is the portion of that, and how can I make it either lower in fat, lower in salt, or lower in sugar?
Okay. So as we wrap up, I think I have two more questions for you. And the first one would be, you know, are there any trends or developments in the field of nutrition that you're really excited about, you know, as you continue to practice in this field?
Yes, I'm very excited about how food is used as medicine. Hippocrates says food is medicine, mm-hmm. and that is true. And one of the things I'm really looking at is how medical nutrition therapy is being used in disease reversal. And Diabetes Canada has some clinical practice guidelines, and they have published this in 2022 in the Canadian Journal of Diabetes. And they say that practitioners can target diabetes remission and consider it as an option for persons who have early type 2 diabetes if they're overweight or obese. Mm. And so what they're saying is that they have seen in the research that persons who have type 2 diabetes, who are overweight and obese, there are interventions that can be crafted from a nutritional point of view to actually help to reduce and reverse the disease process of diabetes to the point in which those persons don't have to continue with the medications that they're on. Mm. And so as scientists do more studies, I'm excited about the development and the trend in this, because sometimes, you know, when we get a condition, we think the trend is more medication adding up. But the research is showing that actually we can make changes, that the reverse can happen and the medications can be decreased. And so I'm excited about that development in the field.
Okay, awesome. And then finally, you know, if you could leave our listeners with one takeaway, one key message about improving their nutritional status this year or at any time, what would it be?
I would encourage them to increase their knowledge and their awareness about nutrition. Recognize that food is medicine. Food is important. You are what you eat. Get support. You know, look at the testimonials of other persons and be smart about it. You know, be specific. Have a measurable goal. Make sure it's achievable, realistic, and set a time frame of when you want to achieve this, because goals are important.
Awesome. And obviously, you know, we want to give our listeners an opportunity to find out, you know, how they can connect with you for more information, for guidance, to set up an appointment. So where can people and what phone numbers can they reach you on?
Okay, so I'm located at Oak Tree Medical Center South, location by Independence Highway. You can give, the telephone number is 605-4083, mm-hmm. or 825-4674.
Okay. So I want to thank you so much. This has been a very enlightening conversation, and I hope for our listeners, there's a lot that they can take away from this as they, you know, consider making changes to their diet and their exercise in this new year. So thank you so much for your time, taking time out of your busy schedule. It was a joy.
You're welcome, Mr. Burrows, and thank you for having me today.
Awesome. So that is a wrap for this episode of Vital Voices. A huge thank you again to Shanishka Cambridge for joining us today and sharing such insightful advice on improving our nutritional status this year. As we've learned, good nutrition is about more than just what's on your plate. It's a cornerstone of overall health, energy, and longevity. Remember, even small strategic changes can make a big difference over time. If you found today's discussion helpful, be sure to share this episode with someone who might benefit. And don't forget to subscribe to Vital Voices for more conversations with experts like Shanishka, who are dedicated to helping you thrive. Thank you for listening, and here's to a healthier you as you continue into 2025. Until next time, take care and be well. Listen up. Vital Voices podcast has an amazing giveaway just for you. Want to treat yourself to the ultimate relaxation? Subscribe to the Vital Voices podcast on YouTube between January 20th and January 31st, 2025, and you will automatically be entered into a raffle to win an 80-minute deep tissue massage courtesy of Tranquilitas Day Spa. Imagine melting away stress and tension with this luxurious experience. It could be yours for free. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and tune into our show on February 3rd to see if you're the lucky winner. Relaxation is just a click away. Subscribe now and good luck.